You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Take it all back. A little closer than I needed. I'm so scared that I might be here alone. Take it all back. Now. To the places I tried leaving. Every map I follow leads to the unknown. I should know. Than saying goodbye. Why do I still feel so lost? Why do I still seem out of place? Everyone's out of focus. Everything worry looks the same. Why do I still feel so lost?
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11? 10?
9?
9?
Is it 9?
Oh my god. I'm gonna look it up. And I'm not editing this out. But welcome to episode, hold on, we're almost there. It's so bad that I don't know this. I have to look it up. Episode 9, you were right. Josh was right. All right, welcome to episode 9. We made it. We're almost to double digits. We're almost there. I just found out today that at one point we were in the top 100 podcasts in the U.S. for like music interviews or something, which I don't think is like anything insane because it's a very specific thing, but like it's pretty cool for being under 10 episodes. So thank you everyone that has been listening and rating and subscribing and all that stuff. Keep it up. If you haven't done so, please do. It is Wednesday the what? 1st. Today. So that means we got holiday coming up. Josh is already on vacation, right? In Colorado. How's that going? Are you there?
It cut out for a second. Sorry.
Oh, technical difficulties. I asked how vacation is.
Oh, it's good. I'm in Colorado and I guess this is relevant. Today we went to the Stanley Hotel.
And oh, really?
Saw that. So
nice.
That
yeah.
Cool.
The reason that's relevant is we just released our acoustic EP, Ice Nine Kills, and where we performed at the Stanley Hotel. Did you just go to visit?
Yeah, we just like kind of drove by and took some pictures and stuff. So.
Did you know that Dumb and Dumber was filmed there as well?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the scene where they pull up to the hotel and they have like the fancy cars and the ridiculous suits, that's the same hotel. Pretty great.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, that's what my week has been full of, is just been promoting the new EP. We had like some live stream sessions with a bunch of fans. That was really, really fun. And we've just been writing still. And then this week, I'm actually going away for a few days with Spencer and Dan and our girlfriends, and Donovan actually may join us up in Big Bear, which will be fun. It's actually like one of the first vacations I've ever really, or I've been on in a long time. I haven't actually taken a vacation somewhere in a very, very long time. So should be fun. But yeah, this week on the podcast, we sat down with Andy from Crown the Empire. I had, and you'll find this out in the interview. Oh, actually, I should just straight off say this. Somehow I lost the first 5 minutes of the interview.
Wow.
I have no idea how. It's the first time my software that I'm using for this hasn't come through for me. But luckily, there wasn't anything like of that much substance missing here. I'll just say that, you know, the very first thing that was cut off was basically just the very early history of the band and how Crown the Empire kind of got started very quickly with their online presence and promotion and stuff like that. So it kind of comes in at a weird spot, and that's why. So good job me. We did it. But I had a great conversation with him. It's I had only met Andy one time before that, and it was very, very briefly. So it was nice to be able to sit down with someone who I've heard so much about, because everyone I know is friends with these guys too. And it's just crazy that we haven't crossed paths more until now. When Ricky was on tour with his band Hawk, they were opening for Crown the Empire, and Patrick was tour managing that. So they got to know them there. And Spencer has known him for a very long time. So it was nice to be able to sit down with him. I had a great time talking to him. So what do you think, Josh? It was pretty good. He's a very interesting dude.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. he likes to talk too. So made my job a lot easier. Yeah, so we won't hold it up anymore. Just a quick check-in. Again, thank you guys for listening. If you have donated, special thank you to you as well. Some news coming up with the podcast soon. I can't wait to share about it. Josh already knows about it. And hopefully that gets announced soon as well. So big stuff coming. Very excited. And we got some interviews on the way for you as well. So stay tuned. And for now, we'll just send it over to Andy.
First EP, but you know, I think it was partially why it kind of set us apart early on, when there were so many good bands doing similar styles, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you were like really into just the marketing of it before you even started touring.
Yeah, I think we understood the importance of it. We had a friend who was in another touring band and had help making tons of videos and had done it. And he's like, I think I can do this for you guys. I think I can help you do this. And so having somebody like that early on, you know, it didn't feel like marketing, you know, it just felt like documenting what we were doing anyways. And I think that's cool. What felt real about it. Yeah. I've been thinking about it more and why we kind of stopped. And I think there was just like a try hard element to it that just felt, you know, in YouTubers, you know, that's why I wasn't really a part of the, you know, keeping up with all those people. Cause it felt like so, like you're contrived. Making content. Yeah. Like you're making content to make content more than, you know, you're just having someone along to do something. You know, I think it's partially why alt press got a lot of heat at first, you know, like there was something. So it felt try hard. It felt phony. It felt like an antiquated way, like maybe in old school magazines, you know, you'd have dudes do like crazy poses, like grab their hair and cover like, you know, like do this, dude, you know, so like try and do. And I think for a time that's what people wanted, you know, but everything evolves, and if you keep this same thing, it becomes phony. It becomes fake and whack. And I think it's why we kind of fell out of that for a little bit. You know, I wanted to be more private.
I feel totally the same. Like this thing that I'm doing, this podcast, is like by far the most public thing I've ever done, and it really is just for fun. Right. So it feels like genuine right now, but I do worry about that like down the line, dude, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the thing I have to remind myself anytime I do something like this is like, you're just talking about doing what you love. You know, we would be having these conversations regardless. It's just, if I can give insight to anybody who's interested, then the purpose is fulfilled. You know, even if you have one person listening, you know, it feels like it's worth it.
Yeah,
as long as you're not doing something completely fucking whack, like, all right, today I'm gonna hammer my balls into my grandma's dining room chair.
Love to have you do that. If that's what you're talking about, I disagree completely. Because if you can start putting content like that out, I'd be a fan. That would be great.
This is my ticket. This is my ticket out, baby.
Let's go, man. I will publicize this hard if that's what you're gonna do.
Oh man,
a path for the band to take.
Yeah. Oh man, I just think that that's what the point of it is, and I think that today people just care more about the attention rather than what it is that they're trying to say.
It's super uncomfortable to me. Like even like that's why honestly, and I think people that follow me know this. Like I am so bad at social media, like so bad. I rarely post shit and people get mad at me and say I'm not interacting with people. And then like the only thing I've done on Twitter for the past 10 years is every single tweet I've done has been at Tom Hanks. And there's there's no relevance to any of it either. And now I only tweet like once every 2 months. But
yeah. Dude, yeah, if you don't want to play the game, don't force it, you know?
Yeah, like, it just feels – like, you know, like not genuine to me. It feels like I don't actually, if I have something I want to interact with or have people interact with me about, I'll do it. But most of the time it just feels like, oh, I haven't put something up in a while. I guess I have to. It's like,
yeah,
why?
Dude. Yeah. Dude, it's a weird relationship that people have with their social medias, you know? And I'm not immune to it, you know?
No,
like,
I don't think it's impossible to not be. It's everywhere.
We're just like cyborgs now. We're just like, give me attention, bro. Like somebody tell me they love me real quick.
I know. Like I am guilty of looking at like, oh man, that post only got this many likes in that time. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh dude,
so stupid.
Oh dude, it makes me want to die thinking about it. But
I know.
It's a very real thing.
It's a
it's
weird
only
thing
getting
to
crazier.
Admit to yourself, you know.
I think it's better to admit that, you know, that there's some clownery going on than to be like completely in denial of it.
Right.
You know, I think there are people, you know, seeing people use it for all kinds of things, you know, just to shit on people all the time.
Oh,
or,
dude, it's painful.
Taking their personal problems to it, you know, like relations, like subtweeting your actual girlfriend or boyfriend or something like that. It just makes me want to like throw my phone.
Yeah, it's frustrating. There's no context around that shit, you know?
No,
like you just
see
like these little glimpses. But anyway, we got way off track.
Yeah, sorry.
So no, that was good. So let's dive back in. So you played the first show. When did you guys start touring?
I'd say probably a year later. I think things happened pretty fast. Yeah, things happened pretty fast online. We started like a YouTube video kind of campaign where we talked about what we were willing, you know, what we were going to overcome and what we were willing to sacrifice to be in this band, you know?
Okay.
And it was our EP, our first EP was called Limitless. And it was just, we talked as members individually about, you know, what we were going to try and accomplish and overcome. And we asked the fans to try and make their own videos. And so if it was real enough to pop off, we got to like number seven or six on the rock charts on iTunes.
Wow.
When people bought music, you know, like there was no streaming yet. And yeah, we got like, I think 6 record contracts the same day.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So things happened pretty quick. And, yeah, we went with Rise. They, you know, after assessing everything and we've been with them ever since. And they were quick to put us on the road and, get the ball rolling with it. And you know, since then it's just been on a steady incline, it feels like.
Who was the first tour with?
It was Our Last Night.
I remember that tour.
Yeah,
because I grew up with some of those dudes, like Tim and I hung out all the time when we were like high school and college and shit. Did that tour go through New Hampshire? I don't even know if you remember, but I think went to like Rocco's or something.
Oh yeah,
in 100%. And I was the sound guy there.
No shit.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. That's nuts.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, see, it's such a small world, dude. It's so crazy how often this happens with people that have been touring, you know?
Yeah.
You encounter each other so many times. Didn't even realize it.
I know. It's crazy. Like even the people I'm in a band with now, like Dan had played Rocco's a bunch of times. Patrick had played Rocco's a bunch of times, and Ricky, and I had like mixed them several times.
That's
you know,
so
but
nuts.
Never
yeah.
talked to them.
Yeah,
because I was like that sound guy. They'd be like, "Fuck, fucking bands."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just somebody yelling, just pointing their microphone directly into the monitor for you. Turn it up, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, dude.
That's dope. Okay, cool. So then I feel like you guys. So this is the part where I'm absent from it, I guess. It's like I saw you on the first tour, and then I saw you on like your last tour.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it's just there'd been like so many. I guess when it came down to the music after that, once we'd been signed and once we decided where we wanted to push things, we were like, how do we do this in a unique way? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we were all into, you know, video games and movies. And so everything was kind of based around sci-fi and stuff like that. And so how do we incorporate that into the visuals, into the sound, so that everything kind of feels cohesive and the same. And we started doing it I think that Hans Zimmer had just dropped all of his plugins, all of his strings, yeah, and everything like that, all these crazy drums. And so we were like, this could be
kind of our thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we want more cinematic, more, you know, there was a lot of heavy synth and stuff. I think Icy Stars at the time was doing like the dubstep,
yeah,
hybrid stuff. So it was, you know, metalcore was already at that point, if you weren't going to try and incorporate a new element, people were already starting to, you know, toss the people to the side.
Sure.
And so we thought this was going to be our thing. And continue down that path. You know, every album we change the theme. You know, we try to tweak the sound a little bit, and
it's interesting because I don't feel like many bands have those type of conversations, especially at such like an early stage where you're like, you're aware of like the trends in the scene and what you need to do to stand out, and also even just the ability to identify like what other people are doing to do that is something that, like, even personally, I didn't pick up on until, you know, I was fully immersed in what was happening around me, which took years, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really unique. I feel like that's really smart of you guys. And I guess that's probably why you had such a quick rise.
Yeah. And we were all over the place, man. Like, we could identify it, but we didn't know what to do with it yet. You know, we weren't, we were a garage band, you know, that got lucky, you know, putting themselves out there the right way. So having to kind of play it all backwards, you know, to get better at like, okay, wait, what is our sound, you know? And we had if you go back and listen to those records, there's like tons of just like brutal, as heavy as we could get, and then we would have like a ballad, you know, just like a just piano song, or just like, you know, like a Panic at the Disco, like, you know, all kinds of different vibes, because we didn't really know the answer. Uh-huh. But you know, being able to try all these new things and have people kind of fall in love with different elements about this band kind of gave us the freedom to just keep fucking around anyways.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I guess it probably helped define your sound, even just because your fans were embracing all of that stuff, right?
Yeah. All of it, really. That's awesome. It's such a big spectrum. Yeah. And so by the time we came out to LA, probably around 2015, is when we met KJ and Drew, who you are obviously homies with now.
Yeah, let's give a little background on those dudes too, just for other people that don't know. So,
Wizard Blood.
Yeah, Wizard Blood, producer and writer, and same with KJ. Both very talented dudes. Yeah,
super talented. And we caught them when they had just started working with each other. You know, and it felt like very left brain, right brain.
Did you meet KJ in Texas or out here?
Out here. Okay. Believe it or not, I think we'd encountered, it was the same type of deal where we probably played shows,
right,
and just kind of but never really like sat down with one another. But it was around that time that they came out and they're like, hey, we feel like we know what you guys are doing with your sound, but I think we can elevate it to something sicker if you're willing to give us a shot. And they kind of took us under their wing and, you know, changed the way that we looked at music, really. I think you know, a lot of people try and focus on the wrong things. And it was cool to kind of have, like, Drew as a big picture guy, you know, and being like, hey, it doesn't have to be so wordy. You know, you don't have to cram all this shit in there. You can express an idea. You can be, and KJ being like, you can be heavy
without
and
chugging.
Aggressive. Exactly. And we didn't understand that. You know, we were, again, the garage band, you know, the high school garage band that got lucky. Like, our evolution it was stunted because we got on tour so quick and we just focused on like, hey, we're doing something right. Like, this is us living it. But, you know, I think to be able to grow, we needed that change of perspective. You know, you need that outside help to kind of change things. And ever since then, it's been completely different. And we're super grateful for them. And
I like I said before, I that album like fucking crushes. It's so good.
Dude,
I really love it.
Thank you, man.
They're just like solid rock songs, dude. Like, Yeah. Super, yeah. Super catchy. It's great.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It was a lot of fun, you know, coming up with fun art concepts, you know, finding these cool artists.
Yeah, artwork is cool too on it.
Yeah, we were very into. I'm constantly, every album, it feels like there's at least one existential breakdown that leads to like a big moment of clarity for me, where I get overwhelmed, and then the picture, you know, it's all clear to me right afterward. And I think with that one, it was just, our last record was very much with everyone's relationship with the internet, you know, everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, how deeply it had affected me and stuff. And how seeing so many people that are immensely more talented than us, you know, and who had, you know, whatever they had, more drive or whatever, not be able to accomplish their goals. Like, it doesn't matter if you're the best. It just matters how you put it out there. And that kind of was heartbreaking to me. You know, people spend years and years and years on an album, not know at all how much work is put into it, and then people write it off in like 5 seconds, like, shit's whack, and then toss it to the side. You know, there's such a thick volume of everything coming out everybody's faces, and the attention spans of people and stuff like that. You know, and
that's what I always tell people, like, who ask questions about, like, well, can you give me some advice on music and stuff? And I'm like, I mean, I can give you what I know, but to be honest with you, there's probably a local band in your town that's better than us.
Yeah, you know what absolutely. I mean? I go to Nashville, and you walk into any bar on the street, and those house bands are like the tight. We play the same 12 songs, and we fuck up. You know, like, these guys are so tight, and they're playing 150 songs a night.
I know.
You know, they're
crazy.
So in the pocket, and I think kind of realizing that, you know, music isn't linear, and that anything could be taken from you at any moment is just a scary thing. And it's like, that's part of being a musician. It's part of dedicating your life to the craft. It's like, you're doing it for the love of making art, and not, you know, to see for success, especially in the short term. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Ice Nine is a good example. You know, they were around for a long time, and within the last year, Dance Gavin as well. The Dance Gavin Dance were like 15 years of grinding, you know, of being on these tours, and then finally seeing it pay off and be like, holy shit, you're selling out massive rooms. You have like a niche fan base that a few years ago people just didn't understand the music to begin with.
You know? It was an interesting time for me to join Ice Nine. Because I've been so close to the band for so long, and there was, and I've told this to Spencer too, I was like, honestly, man, there was a part of me that was like, this band's done. Like, it's just been too long, and like, I just can't see it. Like, and then, you know, proved me wrong. Boom. Like, in the hardest way ever.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. I mean, there are so many examples of that kind of thing happening, and it just goes to show, like, you can really, really believe in something and just be able to take shit for so long, and in hopes that, like, that's the best case scenario for people. You know, we're like, oh shit, I proved everybody wrong, and this shit's popping off right now, and I have my own cult family, you know, but it's so turbulent, you know. And I think it just had to come back to terms with it, with that being the point.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it really helped us connect with this last record and made it a lot better. You know, it just felt cathartic. It felt real without trying to be, you know, a straight pop song. You know, without, you know, like a, I'm not The Weeknd, you know, or you know, whatever the thing is at the time.
Right. There's definitely a blending of genres happening a lot right now, like,
which is so fun.
Yeah,
which means all rules are off. Like,
I know, man.
That's what keeps me from making music, is like, from finishing an idea that I think is cool, and then being like, this is stupid, no one's gonna like this, and throwing it out halfway through. When like, now you could just what did Old Town Road was fucking,
dude. It was like a
the Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah,
it was
like
a Nine Inch Nails single from like the. It had like a weird name. It was like number 3, part 7, or something. Like, it's a B track on a obscure Nine Inch Nails record, you know. But
so
it doesn't
weird.
Even matter. Or the other single, the Panini, using a full blown Nirvana melody.
Dude,
for the chorus.
It's like, there was someone. KJ was just telling me there was someone, some rapper that just got. I don't know if they got in trouble or like called out or whatever, or just like, hey, you use this, but we don't care. But there was some band that was using like Senses Fail guitar, or some rapper using Senses Fail guitar loops all the time. And like, I think they reached out to him, or I think it was Census Fail. They reached out and he was like, oh, I don't know. Someone just sent me that guitar part. I've never even heard of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's so funny, but seeing that kind of shit, you know, resurface and be repurposed in all kinds of ways. It's just like, oh, we can just do whatever we want. You can just blatantly take shit if it's cool and throw it into something else and it's a brand new thing, which is
well, you know what else funny is really... Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
I was just... the rules are off and it takes a lot of the pressure off of anybody who wants to make music right now, you know?
I feel like there's also this, like... There's this trend in, like, music production right now that I find super inspiring where it's, like, getting back to these, like, old analog, like, overdriven... bit crushed or like just cranked sub levels and stuff that
yeah
are just like
yeah
like you listen to like Bon Iver or like Banks or like mm-hmm. any of those like pop artists that are doing like kind of artsier stuff and there's this weird like just it sounds like a bad recording but it's
right
but it's fucking sick
but
you know?
It's tight.
Yeah,
it's so funny,
like, I love that
it's
shit.
Like the same with Instagram where we have the technology for these super nice cameras and we want them to look shitty.
Yeah. And then we pay $2 for an app that makes it look worse, right?
Yeah.
Those VHS apps. It's the same thing.
I love that though, man. I think it's made things a lot less complicated for a lot of people, you know? And it's if anybody can become a composer essentially and just like throw together some cool sounds and make something in their bedroom bigger than like a team of people, you know, producing like a perfect record that is like has no soul to it. You know, like, yeah, it's well written and it's structured and the chorus hits when it's supposed to and but it doesn't feel good. I think it's amazing.
I think that like honestly like hip hop did that. Like they just completely changed. I've always said that like pop and hip hop, they move so fucking fast. Like there's a new trend in it like every 6 months. Right. Yeah. Like there was a while, I don't know if like 10 years ago where everyone was just using like saxophone samples and like horns and shit. And that was like the hook of every song for like six months. It was like these out of tune, like weird saxophone and tuba and shit lines and stuff. And it was just everywhere. And then it was gone. And then there's something else that comes in. And then people were just making up acronyms all the time, like YOLO and shit. Right.
Right.
Like, it just moves so fucking fast. But I think all of that, like, the fact that these guys, like these hip hop artists, will put out a song the next day, like after they write it, and they don't, maybe they don't really know what they're doing in the DAW or whatever in their recording program, like, but people fucking loved it. So all these producers now that know what they're doing take that same concept and like, you know, make it sound fucking sick too. Like take it the shitty thing and make it sound like really fucking cool in a creative way. And it's like everywhere now. And I just think like, especially, and I'm really excited to see what happens in 6 months because everyone's just been stuck in rooms right now, just writing shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some like really weird stuff that comes out.
I'm excited, bro.
Me too.
Yeah. Everybody's been losing their mind, dude. I've had a rough quarantine. My first solid month was okay because I was just so high the whole time.
Yeah.
But like, I've never thought that I would get to the point where I would be bored of like weed or something. You know, like,
oh man,
these were
this
all
is a great
crutches.
Topic,
dude. These were all crutches for me.
Oh,
for
you just
so
cut
long.
Out your audio's gone. Oh no, no, I didn't. My Siri just thought I was talking to it. Sorry. Go ahead. I missed what you were just saying.
Oh, it was just that anything that I would run to distract myself didn't work anymore after like a month of doing it. And I didn't think that I would be able to hit that wall ever.
I'm not there yet.
Really?
Oh, dude. So first off for me, like I said, I just moved out here, right? The concept of delivery weed is insane to me. Like that, the first day I got here, I was like, I'm gonna order delivery. I'm gonna just do it. So like that blew my mind. So I'm still like, you know, in the a honeymoon phase of getting weed delivered. But the other thing is like I've developed a strategy a little bit where like I somehow, and I've talked about this in every episode I think so far, at least mentioned it. Like, my sleep schedule has been almost exactly with like the sun. I go to bed when the sun goes down and I wake up when it comes up. Right?
That's tight.
It's fucking amazing because I wake up before everyone else and I can get all of the shit I need to get done before 9 a.m. You know?
Yeah.
And
what is
and,
it that?
Go ahead.
Oh, continue.
I was gonna say, like I don't smoke before noon, and
smart.
And that's like 7 hours. You know, it's not like noon is just like a little bit after I wake up. It's like most of my day. And I just won't do it before noon so that I can like feel like I'm productive for a long time. And then the rest of the day, if I accidentally smoke too much, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine because you had a – dude, I was going to ask you like that self-regulation, it speaks volumes to how driven and like focused that you can be. You know, like it's so crazy how people can justify – like that makes – like that sounds like – a Christ level of focus and you know being able to control yourself in that way because
I wish it was that. I honestly
what is
wish
it, what
was
is it?
That.
Like how do you keep yourself in check?
Dude,
how do you
I don't know. I don't know. It just happens. It just happened. Like part of me is like, wow, I'm like tapping into some real primal like human shit right now because my body is just doing that. Like I didn't try to do it.
That's so sick. I wake up the same time every day as well. It's like a body clock thing and I can't identify. I can't pin if it's like is an anxiety thing, but I'm up at 7 and then I'm in bed before midnight, you know? But that's one thing, but waking up at 7 and then feeling like I can't rev up to get the day started until like 11 or something. Like
really?
What am I doing? Yeah, dude. Like I'm a slow.
That's the thing. I'm that too usually. And that is one thing where I've like, there have been times when it takes me like 20 minutes to get actually out of bed. But recently I've just been like, no, I'm just fucking getting up. I'm going. Like, even if I'm like dead tired, like after 20 minutes, I feel fine. You know?
That's sick, bro. That's like a superpower to a lot of people, man. And I know people that are struggling with it. I think, you know, people were saying that the quarantine just brought out a lot of bad parts of people, like the worst sides of them. But I think it was something that I had to like, actually sit there with myself undistracted, you know, and kind of face. And it's a scary thing and I can't imagine what other people are having to deal with, you know, themselves, but trying to fix, you know, solve this puzzle and you know come out of this thing stronger is what everybody wants. And I think I remember thinking like, man, if only I had the time to set up, you know, these things, you know, if I only had this or this, then I could get it all done. And then I got everything and I didn't get it done, dude. I was like, damn, I fooled myself this whole time. Dude. I've been like,
yeah,
you know, like
I just need the time.
Dude, like that's what they say. Like time is the most valuable because you can't replace it. You know, you can't put a dollar amount on it because you can't ever get it back. So like understanding that and then being petrified by it is where I'm at right now. But I mean, I wish I had that wake up and just fucking go for it attitude.
Well, dude, you know what the best thing about it has been is like I work with a lot of bands on the East Coast, like writing and stuff, and we're obviously everything's through Zoom right now. And I'm like, hey, I mean, I know this might be early for you guys, but do you want to start writing at 9? And then they get on at 9, I get on at 6.
That's
you know?
So hard body.
And then
that's so hard body.
We're just done. And like, I mean, even if it's a long session that goes like 5 or 6 hours, I'm still done by noon. You know,
that's so crazy. That's so crazy,
great, man. It's great, but it doesn't work out all the time. Like there are some mornings when I'm definitely just playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, dude, I live it, bro. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, I think Saturday, there was a literally next door. There was a woman who I'm staying in the hills right now, in the Hollywood Hills. That's soft flex. I'm not trying to flex, but it
sick.
Kind of. But there was a woman who drove up into the neighborhood and hit a bunch of cars on the way up and parked next door to my house and started screaming at these people that were outside to, you know, arrest the cops and started yelling about fireworks and
oh man
and Trump. And she it was nuts. She tore off, she ran into a building, like she ran into someone's house and
oh my god,
this is like right outside my house, so I could hear her screaming and I was like, what the fuck is it? I looked and there was a dude in like this ravine next door hiding in a bush and I was like, oh, some crime's going down. So I went out there and there was
that's
a chopper.
An odd reaction. Just be like, oh, some crime's happening. Let me go out.
Some crime. Yeah, of course I want to see, dude. That's the most exciting shit that's happened to me all month.
Yeah.
So I went out there and, she was going insane and she was crashing into stuff. And I moved my car inside, but we were just kind of like watching and filming. They got a chopper and four cop cars.
Holy shit.
Down. Yeah, it was nuts. And they ended up catching her and stuff. But
wow.
Gee, I'm living GTA out here, bro. LA's been tense.
Dude.
Tense, to say the least.
So I just got an Xbox. So I have no idea what I'm doing. I haven't played video games in like over a decade. And like,
oh, that's why you're so efficient, bro.
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably part of it. But I love that game is just in LA and I'm getting
so
used
funny.
To LA right now.
Yeah.
You know
dude,
what I mean? Because it's teaching me where things are. Like, it's
yeah,
crazy.
Definitely.
It's great.
Definitely. You go out to the desert and stuff. So
dude,
funny,
yesterday, the other day, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I know this road. And my girlfriend was like, how? It's like, I just drove on this morning in the video game. I was like, I know exactly where I am right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Man. I'll sink so much time to do it.
Yeah,
it's just about balancing, right. Bro. Like, I'm big into just escaping reality for a little bit. But again, the quarantine, like, I was like, let me see how long I can sit and just fucking go. And then, you know, I haven't played video games in like 2 weeks. You know, I'm like, I can't even look at it. Yeah, I can't even look at my Xbox.
I mean, I have a short attention span with video games. I can only play for like an hour and a half tops.
Oh, dude, you're talking to a guy that used to do nothing else mattered. You know, I would just live out in the wasteland, you know, or whatever game I was in, bro.
Yeah, can't do that. I can't
do
it.
No, I'm just like I'm an adult man now. It's just like,
nah, dude, that doesn't matter.
I need to get things done. You know, I think I'm at the point where there's so much I have to do all the time that I can't sit with myself.
Yeah, but,
I can't enjoy
things.
We're
in an industry where we're allowed to be fucking like teenagers if we want our whole lives. You know?
Dude, I don't want to, dude. It bumps me out.
I don't either.
I've
like, I'm not doing that, but like, you can totally take advantage of it.
It's nice to have the option available, but I mean, I know that I couldn't. I mean, touring with like, you see dudes that are like a lot older who are, it seems like, we're still touring and stuff, but I see like them stagnant a little bit, you know? And I was
like,
I don't want to be
kind of burnt out or.
Yeah. You know, like I don't want to be doing the same shit.
Right.
When I'm that age, you know, there's got to be some sort of.
It is so fucking rad though when there is a band that's been around and like older and they're still just fucking, you know, having like the best time.
Yeah.
You can tell, like we just did that tour of Papa Roach and those dudes, like they're the best. They're the best.
Jacoby, I was like, we did an interview once with Jacoby, and he was doing something for like Download Festival or something, and he was like, "Hey guys, how's it going? How we doing today?" And I was like, "Hey man, I can't match the energy. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I can't. It's impossible. It's impossible."
They just love it, man. They love it, and it's so fucking cool. And the other band I always talk about with this is Simple Plan, because those dudes, like, they fucking get it, man. Like, I saw them for the like maybe 2 years ago randomly at House of Blues in Boston, and like they know how long they've been around and they know why people like them, and that's rare, you know, like people like bands that have been around that long kind of, I feel like, get jaded that people don't like you know, their newer shit. But they go up on stage and Pierre, like the singer, he's like, "You guys remember this song?" And I was like, "Yes, I do."
Yeah,
you
bro, give
you know?
Yeah, dude, give the people what they want, bro.
Yeah,
that's gotta feel
great.
Amazing. I
so
hate
cool.
that, man. The ego thing drives me nuts with people, because there's a people that I haven't been around for that long that act like they're too cool for the shit that they're playing, you know?
Yeah.
There's people doing a lot less. And that was something that always irked me, dude. Like, how are you gonna act like you're not fucking stoked? You know?
It is like real. I mean, see, dude, I've only been playing shows this big for like a year, right? My old band never got even close to this point. We did some like tours with Ice Nine like early on and stuff, but so like it's still, obviously, because it's only been a year, like super surreal to me and like a blast and a blessing and everything. But like, I can't, there is a part of me that wonders what I'm going to be like if I do it straight for 10 years. Cause I got burnt out on it before. It was just a different experience. Cause we were, you know, in a van and like driving our own shit and grinding it out and eating cold Chef Boyardee all the time.
Oh, hell yeah, bro. So get them Subway sandwiches, bro. Oh, Subway sandwiches, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, dude.
We were doing, for a while, my favorite was ramen, dry, like just the noodles, peanut butter on it, and the and the seasoning on the peanut butter, and then just eating it like a sandwich. It was great. I mean, it's awful because, like, they don't
– yeah.
It, like, crunches at first, but then the noodles, like, just kind of get – weird.
That's a musician's delight, bro. You can sell that.
We took a buddy of mine on tour one time for just like a weekend, like a short weekend warrior run, and he was like, "You guys have had fast food 4 times today." And I was like,
"Oh, dude, yeah."
Yeah, I didn't even realize.
This is it. Yeah, this is how we live now, dog.
Yeah, it's great. Listen, let's get back to your stuff. What is the plan with the band moving forward right now? Since there's, like, you know, obviously some ambiguity, and I'm sure maybe there's stuff that you can't tell me because everyone's kind of doing their own weird quarantine thing or trying to figure that out right now, at least.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. It definitely feels like some guerrilla warfare shit. You know, luckily we had a music video locked and loaded Blurry that we put out last month.
Yeah, I just watched that yesterday.
Yeah, thank God I was there, and we had a fun, you know, we did this hologram. We had this hologram thing that people could drop me into surface.
I was seeing that everywhere, and I was like, how? Someone tricked me. It was Travis from in Vegas. He tour managed on the last tour that we did. He was tour managing Light the Torch, and like he was like, yeah, Andy came over and like won't get off my counter, and it was just like you dancing on the counter. God. I was like, this is fucking awesome. It's like, he got me. I was like, it looked so real.
Yeah, dude, that was an insane experience. This dude Jadu hooked it up, and you know, it blows my mind seeing how fast everything's moving. You know, this guerrilla warfare type of stuff. Like, imagine not having a tour. You play a show, and people can just put you in different parts of the room or something. You know,
yeah.
They're laying down the foundation for shit that we don't know exists yet. You know,
dude, like, there's so much like cool like geolocated live stream shit that I've been seeing, and like. There's drive-in tours happening right now and shit. Like, those are
cool. Yeah. It'd
be weird playing to a bunch of cars, but, like, cool idea.
yeah, I mean, I think everybody's going to have to, you know, is experimenting and trying to come up with these ideas out of necessity, you know? And that's when the best shit kind of happens, you know? Right. And so whatever ends up being the next thing, you know, I'm excited to be a part of. But doing that definitely opened my eyes to... Oh, these next couple months or within the next year, something's gonna be fucking insane to change the game. Yeah. But until then, you know, business as usual. We're gonna keep writing and coming up with some ideas so that we can come into the studio for the next record just ready, locked and loaded with tons and tons of shit. You know, but that's it so far. I think we're setting up a live stream here pretty soon, and we'll have some stuff out soon.
That's great.
For sure.
So staying busy.
Always, dude. You got it. Or I'll die. Or I'll fucking die.
Yeah. I mean, you seem like you're kind of going stir crazy right now. So
I'm nuts, dude. I'm losing it.
Are you going out at all? Like hanging outside or anything?
No, I... not really. Like I'll wait for like my Uber Eats, maybe.
Go for a hike or something, you know?
I did... You know what I started doing again was they opened up our jiu-jitsu gym, which is super...
Dude, talk to me about that because you mentioned it. I had no idea you were into that stuff.
Yeah, dude. I think being what is essentially just like an addict for adrenaline from just being on stage like that being the thing and then going into being stoned, I'm constantly needing to like nibble on something.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm trying to get into mountain biking right now, even though I'll destroy my knees.
Oh fuck, dude, that's gonna be awesome. I mean, it's good. I mean, anything is better than nothing. But I've never been athletic. I've never been really competitive, at all, really. And so, kind of teaching myself self-discipline when I'm off the road became like a priority for me to like really make sure I was taking care of myself because I wasn't on tour for so long. I gave this a shot and just fell in love with it. You know, it's like, you know, anytime like an addict replaces something with something else, they take that to the level 1000, you know. Sure. And I was fighting dudes like 6 days a week.
That's crazy.
to the point where I couldn't even stand sometimes. I was so exhausted.
That's crazy,
but
man.
It's been really good. I mean, it's physically, you know, I've never been in shape, really, you know, like athletic.
I'm not in shape at all, and I have no muscle on my body. So
it's just musician life, bro. It's the trade. It's the trade for.
It's not. It's I fucking hate the gym. Like I hate working out so much.
Dude,
I hate it.
Picking up something heavy and putting it back down for an hour is like the worst thing ever. Running on a treadmill is hell.
Yeah.
You know, like literally not going anywhere.
I hate it.
Represents how I feel.
But boxing. Like I used to live with someone that was a personal trainer, and he would make me box with him all the time. But and that was fun. But
yeah, hell yeah.
So I feel like I would probably like something like jiu-jitsu, but all of my joints and like are bad, and like there's weird things wrong with me. So like, I'm just nervous to do anything where someone is actively pushing against me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, it's definitely. It's unsettling and it's unnerving, but there's something so powerful that I didn't realize that I needed. I was even missing from my life. You're steering into the most uncomfortable situation that you could be in. You know, a lot of people will let anxiety kind of take them. And, you know, I know grown people that are like, they get flustered when it's time for them to order food still. You know what I'm saying? Like these types of things that should not be, you know, it afflicts people in so many different ways.
Yeah, exactly what you mean.
And so I think if the worst part of your day is someone trying to break your arm or choke you unconscious, then everything else kind of feels not as big of a deal. You know, like,
dude,
what
is a really
like
cool way to think about it. But like, no, I don't, I never want that to be. If that was the worst part of my day every day, that would be horrible.
It's traumatic. It's a low level of
trauma. I mean, it's great
trauma.
That you can like spin that into a positive thing, but you know that's a little like psychotic, right?
Yeah. It's so crazy. It sounds so crazy. But I think it's something as extreme as my craziness, and it ended up, you know, having a sense of community that's, you know, being around normal people. I think being around musicians and stuff, like people just that are so neurotic and. You know, it's easy for everybody to kind of let those things be okay because everybody else is just as fucked up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between that and putting yourself into a community of like wholesome, you know, nice people is.
And it's also they're all trying to better themselves, right? So that builds community too hard.
Absolutely. We're
and
all
on tour
the
sometimes there's always feels like there's just like sometimes, not always. There's just like, well, my band's bigger than yours, or do you know what I
dude,
mean?
That's
like
always
that
gotta,
kind of shit. Like, there's always a
I
lot of power
that.
Trips and stuff.
It's
and
an
that,
ego thing, bro.
Yeah,
it's
it bums me
thing.
Out. Really bums
Definitely.
Me out.
Definitely. It feels
That's
gross.
What I was it's, saying. I've said this a lot, too. Is like, that's what I miss about those, like, lower-level tours, where, like, since everyone was grinding, there was, like, camaraderie with it, and it kind of doesn't feel like that sometimes.
Oh, dude. Coming across people. I've toured with bands that are, you know, big that I didn't talk to for a whole month.
Right.
You know, the singer just wouldn't talk to anybody. You know
me
what I'm
too.
Saying? And it's just like,
Spencer won't talk to me. Kids ask me all the time, like, oh, is it cool like hanging out with Spencer? It's like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I get to see him before we play.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think it's necessary to kind of keep yourself in check. And that's how I do it. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. When you're getting smashed into the ground.
Right.
You know, and it's cool going to classes in Hollywood because it's also other people, artistic people in the industry. You know, a lot of people are working film or art or photography. And
that is cool.
You know, dude, it's like
so
rappers
it's like a,
and stuff.
It's like an escape for like a bunch of people all with a common
thing,
right?
That's exactly. Really cool. You know, walking into it, I'm afraid, my initial idea is like it's going to be a bunch of bro-y, giant muscle dudes and they're gonna kill me, you know. But it ended up being, I mean, there are those dudes, but getting in there and
do you compete?
Not being, no, I haven't, but I want to. It's just COVID shut everything down.
Right.
But
my
I'm
buddy
still
Eric is the bass player in another band I play in called Nova Charisma, and he's also the guitar player in Hail the Sun. And he's really big into it, and he competes
really?
And stuff all the time. He lives out in Ventura.
What a badass, dude. Yeah. See, like, I love this kind of second sense of community, and I think it's super important for people who are feeling isolated. You know, I think it's good to have a bunch of different pillars for your personality. You know, I don't want to be, you know, being in the band for 10 years, but just being my only thing for the longest thing that I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
It becomes synonymous with my identity. And it, you know, there were moments where like, damn,
shit.
Yeah. What do I do? What do I do when I'm not on tour? And I think kind of having those dead moments in between where you're living at level 10, you know, riding off of adrenaline for years and years. And then all of a sudden it all coming to a standstill. It does all kinds of freaky shit. I remember I came home from a tour and I was a lady friend of mine had picked me up and slept over, and I was just screaming in my sleep the first day back from tour. And it was for no explanation. You know, I have no idea what it was, but, you know, there was obviously some sort of regulation that needed to happen. And so, you know, by sticking to a routine and kind of building my daily structure like that, it's helped me discipline myself into not being like what is essentially like one of those like Hollywood star, like a child star that grows up and just is fully batshit crazy, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Or like,
you
or
need
one
to
of those
ground people. Yourself with shit.
Definitely.
Like, you can easily slip into that without realizing it.
For sure. I'm eating
couch cushions.
I know
plenty of people
something.
That have.
Dude, yeah. It's nuts. It's
yeah,
so
and they
bad.
Don't know it yet, but they'll figure
no.
it out.
No. Life, dude, life will kick you hard in the dick,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, they'll get there.
And yeah, and so that's been my holy war within my fucking self during these last few months, but yeah. Things are good. I'm coming back at it. You know, I'm coming out stronger. We're going to have a ton of new music done. And
yeah, that's sick.
You know?
Yeah. I can't wait to hear. I'm sure we're going to cross paths in the studio at some point too, because
absolutely.
We work with just all the same people. So
yeah, KJ mentioned it too, but I know that motherfucker's not waking up until at least noon.
Dude, he texted me at, let's see, what time today? Oh, it was 12:01 p.m.
Oh,
wow.
Yes, that's
very good.
We were roommates for a while, so.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I got his schedule on lock, but.
He's been telling me, dude, he's like, yeah, come on. I know you go hiking a lot in the morning. Like, we want to go. Like, get me up in the morning. I text him every time I go. He hasn't come once. So
no, dude, he's we'll like, I'm too tired. I got him to box with me. He came
oh,
to
really?
Muay Thai. Yeah, and he was good, dude. He was like throwing hands at people.
Yeah, something feels like that dude is gonna kill me one day if I cross him the wrong way. Like, he seems like he's
silent.
Got this. Like, he's so calm, right? And but like you know, you never know.
You know, oh, dude, you know, there's a monster living in him,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we'll definitely get together and we'll make some cool shit. I know he's said nothing but good things about you.
Oh,
so
that's great.
I was
that's
happy
great.
To jump on with this shit.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be fun. So look, we've had you now for like 45 minutes, but I always ask one question at the end, and you can take this however you want to go. But
yeah.
I usually try to get people to, answer it not as much as like not like they would like a normal interview or publication, just like conversationally. And so I just want a good tour story, and it can be about anything. It can involve anyone. You know, just blow me. There's been some really, really good ones recently. The last person I had on was Dan, who's our guitarist, and he told a story about like a tour that he was on when he was in his Blood Runs Black, and there was like a 6-band brawl. Like there were two double-decker buses and 3 bands on each bus, and there was a bus versus bus brawl on the street in the morning.
No fucking way. That's so nuts.
Isn't that wild?
It's dangerous, dude.
Yeah.
I don't like – I'm too scared of that shit, bro.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Fight.
No. Dude, you just told me that you like trained to fight and shit.
I know, but
still, you beat up some dude outside the Palladium.
Dude, well, okay. Well, the thing about that is that I was I was scared, dude. I was like, please don't have
sure
a knife.
You were.
I remember
yeah.
having him.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, if he has a gun or a knife, then I'm dead in like a couple seconds here. I just like, let me try and subdue this motherfucker before I die.
Right.
But
it's good.
I will never do it again. No, I'll never do it again. I'll never instigate or try and, you know, even if somebody, I was just defending my friend, and I was also very drunk.
Right.
So I think, you know, when you're level-headed and you know that you can win a fight, it kind of keeps you from having to even flex that. You know, it's always the dudes that don't know how to fight. They're like, oh, I'll beat your ass, bro. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so I'll tell you a tour story. I'll tell you a tour story about someone in my band, but I don't want to put him on blast with exactly who it is, but it's definitely someone in my band. We were on tour in the UK. And our first tour was back in 2013 out there when Pierce had put out Collide with the Sky. So it was like King for a Day had just dropped, and it was like the resurgence of Sirens and Pier. Yeah, it was just like that when that was happening. And so they're like, hey, come out on tour with us. And I was just turned 18, able to go to the UK and drink for the first time, you know, which is a bad start. Move. Yeah. Rookie move. Went out there, you know, the clubs and stuff, you know, college kids can go out at 18 to these bars and stuff. So I remember going out, and it was like, a college that had turned into a nightclub, you know, they're turned into a dance club or something tonight. So we were out there getting it. And one of my dudes, remember tall tees at the time were a thing, you know, like the long.
Yep.
We were out there and everybody's dancing, doing their thing. And he has to go take a shit. And he runs out, does his thing, takes a shit, comes back out and keeps dancing.
Oh, God. No fucking way.
He had wiped with his shirt and just tucked it in and continued dancing with these women, bro.
That's incredible.
Was it a white shirt? Yes, dude. Oh. He just tucked it in. A white tall tee just tucked into your fucking joggers and just dancing with these girls until eventually, like, someone thought something was up and he knew and he just had to go.
That's fucking amazing.
I was like, bro, the bus is outside, parked by the venue. Like, just no change. Dude, the party can't stop, dog.
That's amazing. Damn.
Oh, dude.
That's, like, such a baller move. I love that. That's fantastic.
Man.
Makes me think of so my first experience overseas touring was actually recently. It was this past year. And so that was new to me, like these clubs after we play turn into nightclubs and there's like fucking children around, right? Like 18 years old, right? Our guitarist made like a sandwich, like a big sandwich, and like was wearing like the shittiest fucking clothes. I don't remember what it was, and just walked into the club with all these like young kids like dancing and just stood in the middle and was just like eating sandwich and like there's like mustard and shit like dripping out of it, and he just in the middle of this club.
I love that.
That's a good story. I like that. That's fantastic.
Thanks.
Listen, dude, thank you for coming on. Is there anything that you want to promote or shout out before we wrap up?
No, I guess just keep your ear close to the ground for when new Crown stuff is coming out.
Cool.
You know, we're always working on shit, and we're going to keep putting stuff out. So
sweet. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for having for coming on.
I'm
sure I'll see you at some point in the future very soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And take care. Yeah. Hope we get through quarantine. Okay.
Hey, man, we're going to survive this, baby.
We're going to do it, man.
Later, brother. Right, thank you, man.
I will talk to you soon.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.